Thanks everyone for attending tonight. As many of you know, our chair, Ariel Young, resigned earlier this summer. And because of that, Charlena and I have been talking about how best to one, address that vacancy and to move forward. I do want to note that I've known Ariel for a couple years and very appreciative of her service as chair on this board. I appreciated working with her and wish her all the best. I understand her reasoning for leaving us, but she'll be missed. So why don't we call, so that's why I'm talking rather than anyone else right now, and we can get into that a little bit more. So I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. We'll start with a roll call on members, and I'll go through the list and you can just indicate whether you're here or not. Charlena Miller.
Here.
Robert Couch.
Here.
Tara Sporco. Jen Rylander. Jen, are you on, you're on mute.
Sorry, I was muted. Here.
Tabitha Duggar. Tara Angeval. And Kyle Schicchetti, I'm here. So that gives us four. That is a quorum out of our seven member board. It may be six members. Having received an email from Tabitha Duggar indicating that she will not be renewing her board position due to press of other issues and work. So the first line item of business we thought would be appropriate is to talk about chair of this committee. And it's given, I've chaired many boards and committees over the years, and co-chaired many boards, and found that to be enjoyable and kind of a sharing of the work, so that busy folks who are motivated to volunteer their services aren't overloading themselves. And Charlena and I talked about that and thought that might be a good way of chairing this committee and then sharing the workload. We do not want to impose that on this committee. Certainly, if anyone else would like to chair the committee, that should be discussed. So we thought the best way to approach that would be to have nominations, solicit nominations for chair. You can nominate yourself or somebody else, and then this committee can decide what's in the best interest of the entity. Does anyone have any thoughts or concerns about that approach? No?
Nope.
Okay. And so then I'll just go ahead and solicit nominations from the floor. And Charlena is already our chair, so she doesn't need to be nominated again. She's already in that position.
I'd like to nominate you, Kyle, because you have more experience than most of us on the board, actually. So I think you're doing fine right now. And I think since you've already worked with Charlena on it, I'd like to nominate you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Robert. I am now finished with my 1 year service for the Board of Governors on the Washington State Bar Association. So I have a little bit more time to devote to other organizations, and I'd be willing to serve. Any other nominations? All right. With that, then why don't we just go ahead and have a vote? We're not going to do a roll call. I'll just I'll entertain a motion. I have a nomination. Do I have a motion?
I move that we vote on the one candidate for the co-chairperson.
Thank you, Robert. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. I have a second from Jen. Any further discussion? All right, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And I will abstain for conflict of interest purposes. All right, thank you. So then Charlene and I will chair this group moving forward and share some of the responsibilities, and I think that's going to work out really well. We have an agenda. I don't know that we need necessarily adopt the agenda. I don't necessarily do that. So why don't we move right into the approval of the minutes? Now, ordinarily, we don't have minutes. We have a recording. However, I think it's probably a good idea to have minutes, just a summary. Other boards, we also record either audio or visually in Zoom and Teams now, but we also have minutes. So that, Joanne, that might be something that we think about for future meetings is, you know, we do have the audio recordings that people can access, but there should also be a short summary of, you know, somebody taking notes and having those adopted at each meeting. So maybe that's something that we can talk about for the future. Okay. All right, then the next item of business is reports. And we have Megan with us, and we also have Joanne. Let's start with Megan on the Humane Society for Southwest Washington.
Hi. Let me pull up my notes here. So for the Humane Society, I just wanted to go over some key metrics. It's been a very busy kitten season. We have seen a 50% increase in stray felines. It's been a 44% increase in kittens actually born in care. We attribute this to the lack of spay neuter last year when everything was shut down because of COVID. And we knew that we would see an increased kitten population. We just didn't know what it would look like. So we're definitely still in kitten season, still seeing a lot of cats. We've been above 100% capacity since March of this year. In addition to that, we're also seeing an increase of behavior modification and training needs for our dogs. So compared to 2019, we're seeing a 46.3% increase in our behavior dog needs. And basically what that means is the population of animals that we have coming in, there's been an increase of 46.3% of those that come in with one or multiple behavior issues, which require some sort of modification or training to manage both in a shelter and to successfully transition them into a home. I think overall right now, our dog and cat populations are well managed. We just have a few, we've had some disease, not coming in necessarily from our community. We've seen some disease that's come in from other communities where people have moved here from Texas as an example, where something like distemper and parvo is a lot more prevalent, and they've moved here with their animals and then surrendered their pets to us and then brought in some disease. So we've been trying to manage that. We also, some good news, we also kicked off our capital campaign several months ago. So that is well underway. We're really excited about that. So a lot of the things that we're talking about right now, disease, behavior needs, all of those things will be addressed once our capital campaign is finished, with the addition of our public clinic, as well as our behavior center that will be both for in-house animals and for public pets. We've also started our wellness clinics back. So these clinics are targeted for low income and people experiencing homelessness. So we have partnered with a group called Thrive to Survive. It's a free community event. They have lots of things there. They're going to have 17 different groups that they're partnering with at this next upcoming clinic on November 14th. They have things like hot food, other community resources like housing solutions and homeless outreach, veteran services, harm reduction education, and backpacks for kids. It's a really neat program, and it's different than the way we've done it in the past because we are going to this community rather than expecting that they will come to us. So that's been really exciting. Last clinic, we served 34 pets total and 25 families. I think one of the biggest things that's happened to us in the past few months is that in partnership with Clark County Animal Control and Battleground Police Department, we took in 34 dogs from just one particular hoarding case. I know Joanne has been very busy with lots of things, but this was definitely one of the things that we worked really hard on. And many of them have been adopted. Others are undergoing some sort of behavior modification or medical treatment. We think that they will all be successfully placed. Some are just taking a little while longer. We place them based on their behavior or medical needs in different tiers. So some were really social and totally ready to go, very healthy. That was the first tier. You know, second tier was a little bit more, going to take a little bit more time, not quite offensive or aggressive, might not have like a really terrible behavior issue, but some skin issues and, you know, so on and so on for the next tier. We're prepared. We're definitely seeing a difference, a shift in our model. Right now, you know, we historically have taken in a lot of animals from other states like Texas and Southern California in order to fill the demand for the adoption. So we have a lot of people in our community that say, you know, whenever they think I want to add to my family, they come to us, they think of rescuing an animal. So in the past, we have not had the supply in order to be able to fill that demand. And now we're really seeing a shift. So now that Joanne and her team are actually out and they're responding to calls and they're, you know, actually working in the community and they're, you know, following through on these cases, we've really seen a huge influx of animals that have come in that can be placed. I think that it's definitely changing a little bit of our model and we're prepared for that. So we stopped transports right now. Our focus is wanting to assist any animals that are in need in our community. That's our top priority. It's been really great. Our staff is really excited. I think that although, you know, things like the hoarding case are really difficult and hard for them to see sometimes, I mean, this is also what we do. I think they also get some sort of, you know, fulfillment from that, knowing that these animals are going to be better going every day forward, you know, that they've taken them in, we're going to be able to treat them and find them home successfully. And so that's been really interesting and different for us.
Great. Thanks, Megan. We had a hoarding case not that long ago, just a few weeks ago, when we were teaming up with Joanne and Animal Control to give some relief to those animals. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's the one I was talking about, the 34 that came in.
34.
So they came in, just a couple weeks ago from Battleground. So we partnered with Battleground and with obviously Clark County Animal Control in order to take those dogs in. So those are the ones that I was referring to, that lots of them have been adopted, but some of them are still undergoing some sort of behavior modification or medical treatment.
Got it.
I actually have one here at my house.
Oh, that you're fostering?
Yeah, here she is. This is Ramona.
And does she have behavior problems?
She has pregnancy problems.
Oh, I see.
She's got two little puppies that she's going to give birth to anytime now. So anyway.
Thanks, Megan. Does anyone have any questions for Megan?
No, but thank you for that really clear report. It's nice to hear all that the activity that you've been doing and dealing with all of the changes and the differences given last year. So it sounds like adapting really well.
It's an exciting time to be involved with the Humane Society, with everything that's going on with the capital campaign and where we're headed. So it's fun, but it's a lot of work. All right. Joanne, do you have a report for us for animal protection and control?
Well, I'm new, so I don't know. I know we talked about what report I'm supposed to bring. Here's the thing. I tried to get you guys a report based off what Charlena told me for numbers. Our computer system is not as nice as Megan's. And so it's literally was created when Y2K happened. So if I go digging in there, I don't have an option to pull numbers. We do have a neat little report that one of our office assistants does, like daily snapshot. So I just took some numbers off that for you guys. I'll have to have her train me on how she even gets those numbers. I'm not there yet. But basically, it looks like this time last year, and I'll just average it. I started in July till now. And, you know, if I average out the months, it looks like we were averaging anywhere up to about 70 calls a week. And we now, in this year, because it kind of shows the 2020 and then 2021, averaging over 100 calls. Right now, we're averaging anywhere from 30 to, you know, calls a day. Yeah. So it's crazy busy. Sorry, Charlene.
Joanne, can you repeat that? It's cutting out a little bit and I couldn't hear the number.
Yeah. So in 2020, it's saying we were averaging around 70 calls a week. And now we're up to about 127. And it really just depends on the week. There's days we're averaging, you know, 30, 40 calls just in one day. But you can definitely see the trend. We're really, really busy. And I think it's a good thing. But I also think a little bit of what Megan said, COVID changed a lot of how people care for their pets and what resources they may or may not need. But the biggest thing I see is people are now working from home, which means everybody calls every 5 minutes that their neighbor's dog is barking. Yeah. That quadrupled. And so that's a little painful for us right now, the barking dog calls.
Right. And Joanne, you want to speak to how your staffing right now is handling this increase and kind of what your plans are for the future? Because I know you've got some staffing changes happening.
Sure. So we are staffed, our department, to have 7 people. That would be 5 officers. And then we have 2 office assistants. One is kind of in charge of our invoicing, billing, and pet licensing. The other one is our dispatcher, but they also do office duties. We're currently down to 1 employee, 1 officer. We brought temps in from different counties, different places to help us cover while we do some new hire. We've started those interviews and we're in the process of doing the new hiring. So right now it's kind of just all hands on deck approach. I'm jumping in and helping with calls. Our temps are really working hard to kind of, we had a backlog and they're definitely tearing through that backlog, going to each address and making sure all those calls were responded to. That's kind of where we're at.
Can you speak to the volume of the backlog and then how you're kind of winnowing that down?
Sure. It honestly wasn't that hard to do. We probably had, when I started, that's a good question, maybe like over 100 cases. And so what I did is just the old school way. I printed them all out and I grabbed the temps. And then we had this giant packet and we just started doing as many as we could a day on top of doing regular calls and then crossing them off and closing out as we went. Some of them, it was nothing. It was maybe a neighbor dispute. We definitely have a lot of neighbors that like to call on each other when they're having a dispute. Other ones did lead to some cases. And as those cases happen, we're definitely making sure they're handled and dealt with. That way we can close everything out. And I would say right now on today's date, we only have actively about 8 cases open. So we've dwindled it all the way down. And those 8 are open for a reason. And the investigations and things are happening.
You also speak to, I think you've been looking at increasing or initiating warrants. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing there and what the progress is?
Sure, yeah. When I came in, I noticed that a lot of the cruelty cases, they kind of just hang in the balance, like nobody really knew what to do. When you go out on a cruelty case, if it's bad, you usually do not get compliance. You get someone telling you to go away, and then the case kind of just lingers. And we definitely had some of those in the queue that were lingering. And so one of the things I did, you'll see that there's another person on our call tonight, Donna. Donna is now the director of code administration, so my boss. And she's new. She's been with the county for like 1 million years. But she came from the fire marshal's office over to code administration, and she'd been in there before. But one of the things with both of us being new that I kind of took to her was, hey, we need to do warrants and get on these properties. And her and I really, it was not easy. It was like jumping through some hula hoops because no one in the county knew what the process for that. How do we do it? But we got it done. And we basically, it took us a while, but we got the process down. We went with the Clark County Sheriff. And then recently we did serve a warrant. It was the first warrant in this county in 15 years. and we did seize animals. And I can't really talk about the case because it's still pending, but it was beautiful. Clark County gave us a detective team of 5 detectives, and we served the warrant and spent all day out there, removed the animals that needed to be removed. And then it was referred to the prosecuting attorney, which again, even for Clark County, that was new, right? They don't have a specific attorney that handles criminal animal cases. And now we do, we have one, and she is great. She's eager and excited to work with us. And we do have several other warrants pending, just waiting on a judge's signature. So we're just gonna continue on and get some of these cases dealt with.
Do you think that you're, since you're in your interviews right now, are you anticipating that you'll have your new officers on staff by the end of the year? Is that kind of your goal?
Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're muted, Kyle.
Yep, sorry about that. Any other questions for Joanne? With regard to the warrant process, this is just my own curiosity. Do we have one judge that is lined up to provide these warrant signatures, or is it whoever is available at the time?
Whoever is available at the time, and we really got lucky. Some animal control jurisdictions, the animal control officer goes to the judge or the attorney and asks for the warrant. Here it's never been done before, so we liaisoned with the sheriff's department, but it actually worked out in our favor. We got lucky enough to get passed to the major crimes detective. He's fantastic. So he made sure to get that warrant in front of a judge, and the judge signed it, and then they were out there with us. And it was just a really neat kind of partnership to watch. The particular case we were doing involved horses. And a couple of the deputies were like, we don't do horses, we're scared of horses. And I'm like, you do today. It was really neat. And then, you know, being able to like make those partnerships and have them help and see the good work they're doing. And then they followed up with us to make sure, like, how are the horses now? What's going on? So it's really awesome. And I look forward to working with them on more cases and, you know, definitely putting an end to some of this cruelty stuff that's kind of lingering.
That's great. And you don't, sometimes you don't see the cooperation so much because of the huge workload from the police agencies, and they just don't have time to respond. So it's great to see that the sheriff's office is cooperating with us and recognizing the importance of it.
And I would also just like to say that, you know, Joanne talked about the backlog of cases that have been open and lingering, and that, you know, they're down to 8 or whatever they are now. We get calls all the time. You know, people don't necessarily understand the difference between animal control and the Humane Society as much as we, you know, try to share that information and educate. So whenever they call animal control, or when they call us and we say call animal control, and they don't feel like they're getting the answer that they want, or they don't see any follow-up, or they've called and they see cruelty or neglect and nothing ever happens, guess who they call? It's us. And we have seen a huge decrease in the number of upset calls that we've received about no response, or, you know, just a really long time it's taken to get anybody to go out and they clear the case. And then, you know, the animals are still out there and they're still suffering and there's just not a lot of follow through. So the public perception is already changing of animal control. I've heard really positive things out in the community. I was just talking to somebody who's outside the city limits of Washougal yesterday. And she was saying how, you know, she had just talked to a few people. She's in the horse world. You know, how they all talk to each other. And so she said that she's heard really positive things about calls that have been made and that there's actually been follow through. And anyway, I just see it is all very positive. So I'm really excited about this direction.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And Joanne's got a difficult job. She's coming into this new, and so we all need to be a little patient and help her the best that we can to have her succeed as our leader too. So glad to have you aboard, Joanne, and we'll work together in the future.
I appreciate it. If you guys don't know, I met with Charlena and Kyle ahead of this and said, "What is a board? What do I do? I have no idea." So. But it's also, as Megan said, it's been really great having a partnership. I know when I first got hired and I went over to meet Megan, one of the things I asked them was, do you guys have a plan in place for hoarding cases? And they were like, no, not like big ones. And it was perfect because then I was like, guess what? We need to go get 34 dogs out of Battleground. And then I think we brought Megan those dogs on a weekday. And by Saturday, I called back and said, hi, now I need to bring you 16 dogs out of the basement. Like, I hope you still have room. But it's been fantastic. Like, Megan's team was amazing. Like, as soon as we got there, everything was already set up. They were already ready to triage them and do what they needed to do. So it's been really neat finally, like, doing things and, you know, testing processes and seeing what worked and what didn't. What can we do better next time? It's been good. Not that I want hoarding cases. I don't. But at least we got the process down.
The Humane Society has always been lucky because we've always had a very good relationship, at least as far back as I can remember, with animal control. Going back now, I've been on the board for 15 years now, I think, and we've always had a wonderful relationship with animal control. The county, on the other hand, not so much. We had some bumps along the road with our contracts and them seeing the benefit of the Humane Society, and some counselors thinking that they could just go elsewhere for what the Humane Society provides, and that never went over very well because, quite frankly, there isn't anybody but the Humane Society in Southwest Washington that can do what we do. So animal control has always recognized that, and we've always supported them. So it's been a good relationship. Okay, any other questions for Joanne? Nope. Okay. Next on our agenda is special orders, but we have none of those, doesn't look like. Do we have any unfinished business? No? Okay. Any new business? All right, and I'm not seeing anybody for public forum. Do we have any announcements? All right. Well, most meetings, we usually have a citation or two that we review and decide on appropriate fine. We don't have any of those this time. Is that due to staffing shortages, or why wouldn't we have any citations or anything, or just not anybody contesting citations?
Oh, we're definitely writing citations, but the only thing I have that has come in since I started was a lady who got a citation in 2020, and she'd like to appeal it now.
Oh, wow.
Right. I was like, you're like a year too late. So yeah. The only contested one that's come in, and so I just had to let her know, like, you're way past the window.
So, yeah. Well, in the future,
we're seeing is, if to be honest with you, is not people contesting them. I think they put them in the trash and just don't pay them and don't care. And then it's just a referral to our collections agency. It's not even I want to appeal it and have this conversation with you. It's I want to pretend you were never here. That's really where we're at.
Just compounds the problem for them, I imagine. Yeah. Okay. Well, we have none of those, but in the future we will, I'm sure, and we can do those then. Hopefully, with we'll try to move these meetings pretty quickly because I know everybody's got family commitments, and we usually do these quite late. So I'm hopeful in the future we can wrap up tonight, maybe in 30 minutes, and in most nights in an hour, unless we have some kind of special thing that we need to discuss. I know in the past that we've spent a lot of time on codes and statutes, and I think there are ways that we can kind of speed that along too in the future, so that we're not spinning our wheels or dealing with things that we don't really need to deal with. So I'm hopeful that we'll do that in the future, and I'm looking forward to this next year. Our next meeting is on January 27th, it looks like, and so look forward to seeing you all then. If there's no other discussion items or questions, Charlena.
Yeah, I have a good of the order. I just wanted to acknowledge, I know you did a little bit initially, but I wanted to just acknowledge Tabitha and Ariel's contribution to the board, to the training packet that Ariel put together, and for you guys coming in, and just, it's a pretty good resource, and just all the hard work that Ariel put in, especially over the years, many years, and then Tabitha again in the last year. And I know she had a new job in the last few, this year, that has taken more of her time than she would like, but perhaps in the future she can come back. But I just want to make sure that we take a minute to just appreciate that we have a foundation to build on from here. So.
Yeah, and Ariel has offered to continue to advise us if we have questions as to, you know, certain things. And so that's wonderful. She's may still be involved in some fashion in our organization, just maybe not on the board itself. So that's very good of her. We do probably have a discussion in the future about vacancies. We have several vacancies. So maybe on our next, our January 27th meeting, let's reserve some time to talk about how we fill those vacancies or market those positions and figure out who might be able to join us. All right. Any further discussion then? Nope. All right. Well, then with that, I'll go ahead and adjourn our meeting and see you in January.
Thank you.
Bye.
Nice job, you two.
Thank you.